Welcome to VentureCast 25. I'm Craig Severson of Grunt Media.
Guess that's me.
Yep,
David
you're here.
Hornick, August Capital.
Remote.
We are. We're on
ding,
the road.
Ding, 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 ding. Again, two in a row, first time.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, because last time was the dodgeball.
Dodgeball. People love that dodgeball, I gotta say.
I got messages from this guy, Hunter Walk, something, said it was the best one ever.
Hunter. Hunter's shameless.
Totally shameless.
Hunter will promote himself, you know, all day and night.
I have no idea what that's like.
Yeah,
I hate
either.
People like that.
I do too. I think that's despicable. I think, you know, you should rely on other people to promote you. So I've been meaning to say how fabulous you are,
well,
Craig.
You're looking really good today, too, Dan. I got to say, here in the sunlight at the University Cafe, downtown Palo Alto. Now, you've convened this meeting here.
Yes.
Are you going to sucker some poor guy into being in our podcast?
I think that's your... I'm keeping my eye on the door. Well, you know, the advent of this is I was chatting with a buddy of mine, Rajiv Motwani. And Rajiv is a professor at Stanford. Mm-hmm. He's a computer science professor. He also happened to be Larry and Sergey's thesis advisor and also the advisor to a number of would-be entrepreneurs, and that which led to him being an angel investor in a bunch of companies. And now, if you're a young, technology-focused, smart entrepreneur, you try and find your way to Rajiv.
Yes.
And if you do find your way to Rajiv, you'll almost assuredly find your way here to the University Cafe, because this is his haunt.
Okay.
And so I was chatting with him, and I was talking about someone else, I can't recall, and how did you meet so-and-so, and oh, well, you know, he said something like, there's a certain culture down at the University Cafe, and he was there, and I was there, and so, you know, they connected at University Cafe.
Yeah.
So that got me thinking. Then it turned out that after our podcast today, I already had a meeting on my schedule for a University Cafe, and that made me think,
something's happening.
You know what?
You're detecting a trend. You're a trend spotter.
I am. That's what we do here in the venture business. You know, Craig.
Yep.
Craig's back from his fabulous Ireland trip.
Fabulous.
And
fabulous.
We should reconvene here mm-hmm. at the noisy University Cafe so we can feel the vibe of Silicon Valley coming to life.
Coming to life. And it was moments before you came here, some guys behind me were making a deal. They're not here now. They were talking like XML, returns, words like that.
And you didn't say, hey, I got a VC coming right in the second here. Why don't you pitch us?
Yeah, pitch us. I'll give you, give me 10% if you get the deal. I didn't do it. I'm not an opportunist that way.
Well, you know, I did come in. You already had your coffee. I went up front to to get my Diet Coke. And there was a guy in front of me, and he was buying himself a muffin, and he gave them his credit card and, you know, went through the whole process.
Or
and then,
a muffin.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think he had an iced tea as well.
Okay.
But then he changed his mind. He said, oh, well, that cake looks good. So he said, can I have the cake instead of the muffin? They get him the cake. Turns out the cake was $2 more than the muffin.
Yeah. Cakes are that way.
So they say, you know, should we just void this out, or can you want to give us the $2? And he said, I don't have the $2. All I have is that charge or whatever. There was a lot of hemming and hawing.
Yeah.
And I was all set to just say, here's $2.
Yeah.
You know, don't worry about it. But they decided, forget it, close enough. And they gave him the cake for $2 off, which was nice. And he turns around and says, hey, you're David Hornick. you know, I saw your talk, whatever. And he said, I'm a former Google guy, and now I'm an angel investor, and I've been meaning to connect with you.
And here he is.
So, you know, he doesn't have $2, but he can, you know, throw a couple $100,000 into a technology company under the right circumstances.
I can't buy the muffin, but could I buy this coffee shop? It's really nice. It's
good
business.
There you go. That's the University Cafe experience.
Yep, exactly. So who knows? We might see a real angel here today.
I'm looking.
An apparition.
I'm looking around. We're going to spot him. This table next to us?
Yeah.
That's not it.
That's not okay. Visiting from...
I'm just saying.
I know, no.
There's a certain look.
Well, you have that skill. That's
like
why you're
Gaydar.
A professional.
It's entrepreneur dar.
Cash dar.
That's awesome.
Well, I know we were here to talk about angel investing, but I got some bad news. You know, the whole venture thing, it's just not sexy anymore. I think I'm going to leave you, David, to do a hedge fund podcast.
Oh, man.
No. A private equity podcast. That's what I'm doing.
Hedgecast?
Hedgecast.
Private equity cast?
Yeah. So, you know, it's just venture so...
P.E. cast.
P.E. cast.
Yeah, sure. Sure. When was the last time August Capital had a multi-billion dollar IPO? I'll admit.
Of your very own?
Is that your measure?
That's it. That's all.
It's such a fair weather for
you. I'm sorry, but this might change things. Is that Blackstone did offer to buy VentureCast for $1.7
billion. So, that's awesome.
So, you know.
I can't believe it.
So you'll have to change professions.
They're going to do that with the interest from yesterday's giant load of cash.
Yeah, exactly. So
Craig is distracted at the moment. He's looking at his brand new iPhone.
Not distracted, sir.
Show number 20. Oh, look at you. He's got notes on his iPhone.
Yes, I do.
That's impressive, I got to tell you. How long did it take you to pull together those notes in a format that could be viewable on the iPhone?
Merely seconds, thank you for asking, because it's all about the iWeb.
Is that right?
So I threw together an iWeb thing half hour ago.
Look at you.
And said, oh, I bet you it's about 480 wide. So I just started grabbing links that I was looking at last night in preparation for the show. Cut and paste, slam it in. Sync to .Mac.
Dude, you know who you are.
It's all there. It's all right here, baby. This is it.
You know what you are?
What?
You're an eye shield.
I'm not an eye shield. See, that's just it. You use the stuff. It works. And then people call you, you know, like a shill or a fanboy or something. You know what?
No, you know, it's...
I am, but that's not right. The point. The point is, I use it because it frickin' works.
That's, in fact, someone said that. Oh, you'd buy anything that had an Apple logo on it. And the answer is yes, but it has nothing to do with the logo.
Right.
It has to do with the fact. So this is now a little bit of intellectual property lesson for you,
okay.
Craig.
Okay, all right.
This is the entire origin of trademark. This is it. If ever there was an explanation of trademark, the whole point of trademark is a quote-unquote indicator of source. Why? Because if you see a particular trademark and it suggests a source, then you can make certain assumptions about quality.
Right.
So, if I see an Apple on it, I assume it rocks my world.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know what I'm saying about
that? I know
what
you're saying about that. And, you know, and to that point, sort of indirectly and not very interestingly, I don't wear an Apple cap or an Apple t-shirt, or I don't have an Apple coffee mug with the Apple logo on it, because that to me, to your point, that's not, I mean, yes, it's the trademark, but it's not representing that sourceness. That's just weird. Fanboyness or weird, you know, that's like not, I'm not going to go, I don't even put the stickers on. That's not it.
You're not part of a cult. You're just a consumer of excellent products, Craig.
That's right. I mean, just the fact that I burn incense in front of, you know, certain symbols at night, and that doesn't mean anything. It has to do with freshening the air.
So I should say this. No, I'm going to admit it. I had dinner out on Thursday night with a group of really smart entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
These are the folks. This dinner was focused on distributed services. So companies that are creating software that allows you to leverage a set of distributed professionals that use that software to create better impact, right? So the folks at the conference were Odesk, which is aggregating service providers, and LiveOps doing software to do distributed call centers, Bella Photography, that is a software to aggregate up photographers. What else? Axiom Legal. I'm a huge fan of Axiom Legal.
Mm.
They have independent contractor lawyers from really good law firms that want more control over their lives. They aggregate demand and then source it so you get a better lawyer for cheaper with good support.
Cool.
So anyway, this group of folks all convened. We had a lovely dinner. And then after dinner, I was supposed to go up to the city to the Stumble Upon party.
Another one.
Another Stumble Upon party. This one.
Sounds party animals.
I think was, you know, celebrating the sale of their company or something.
Oh,
like,
some trivial
something
thing.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But I was down here. It was up in the city. And instead, you know what I did?
You stood in line.
I went over. I didn't stand in line,
Thursday
but I
night.
Did drive by. I gave a drive by.
On Thursday
to
night.
To the Apple store. Thursday night.
Yeah.
See what was going on. At like, you know, this was 11, 1130.
Yeah.
And, of course, as I was driving by, I happened to see a bunch of my friends who are losers, you know, giant geeks, standing in line. They tell me to park.
Yeah.
So I park the car. I go to chat. You know, now I'm not making the direct connection here, but I spot Steve Gilmore. I'm not saying he's a loser. That was an unfair characterization, don't you think, Craig?
I think so.
Steve Gilmore, Robert Scoble, and his son were well advertised as there. Don McCaskill and his entire team from Smug Mug.
Uh-huh.
They were standing in line. They were going to buy iPhones for the whole entire crowd in their company.
Yep.
Which, you know, just a bonus. You don't just have to be an Apple to get the iPhone.
Yeah, free.
So anyway, I went there. I was chatting with them and et cetera, et cetera. the next day, I dropped off some donuts because I'm a nice guy. They'd slept over, and I had gone home and slept in my bed. Drop off some donuts. It turns out they had more food than they could possibly deal with. So it's like, oh, look, David, Krispy Kreme.
Thank you.
Yay.
Hey.
But they were warm. Mine were warm.
Well, you just got there.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I went and picked them up and dropped them off.
Okay.
So they ate them. And then I went to work because I have that thing called work.
The job. You have the job. Yeah.
And then I went. So this is a long story.
That's good. I'm just
This is Friday. What they called it? iPhone Day?
Yep.
Officially iPhone Day Friday. And I went to lunch at a restaurant near my office. And I was meeting with an executive from one of my companies. We're chatting. And then this guy, a friend of mine, walks by who is an investor in PodTech.
Yeah.
And so I say, hey, you know, how's it going? You know, good to see you. I saw Scoble and your PodTech guys. They were all hanging out. And someone said that they couldn't believe that anyone's boss would let them take 2 work days to hang out in line.
Yeah.
But that was, in my mind, completely insane because this was incredible publicity for, you know, for Scoble and PodTech. Because Scoble was interviewed by, like, everybody who went by.
Right.
It was, like, ridiculous. There he is. It was designed. It's Scoble and his son.
Yeah,
realized,
I know. It's
right?
Perfect.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And so I said, you know, this guy, Paul Matucci, who's at USVP, said, so I think it's genius, whatever. I'm having this loud conversation, and I'm going to go back over and this and that, iPhone. And then Matucci goes off, and the guy I'm eating lunch with kind of said, points to the side, like, you know, over there, over there. And I said, what are you talking about? Gave him this look, like, what are you talking about? And I look, and it's Steve Jobs, who's sitting at the sushi bar with his back to me. Oh, yeah, that is Steve Jobs. I'm sure he wasn't upset that I was having this long animated conversation about the genius of the iPhone, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. But
so it was Steve Jobs and Scott Forstall, whose new title, as far as I can tell, is Vice President of iPhone Software. So he's like, you know.
He doesn't have much to do right now.
Vice President of iPhone Software.
No, I'm kidding.
So he was there and someone else, and they were, you know, it was a pretty low-key lunch, you know, in anticipation of, like, you know, iHoopla.
Yes. Exactly.
Anyway, but I see that you have an iPhone, and yet you were out of town, weren't you?
I was out of town. And I'd just like to point out to our audience, on cue, when we were talking about the iPhone, the GSM noise that happens in recording came about. So those of you in the audience, you're hearing the buzzing sound, which normally we can avoid when we record in David's office. But we've got 2 live iPhones next to our recording, so, and hundreds of cell phones in this room right now.
I could put it in my pocket.
No.
But I think it makes us look cool. It looks like, you know. Look at us. We have iPhones.
Yes. So that's the noise you're hearing. I'm not going to take it out there. Actually, I can't take it out. But no, on the 29th, I was in the dead center of Ireland on a very large horse in a field, and there were a bunch of cows following me. And I thought, I wonder what it's like to cut cows. You know, cutting is, you know, herding isolating one. I didn't know about this horse. I'd only known it for a week since we were out there, and I just did my whole... My American gene kicked in, and I started rustling up cattle. It was fun. That was it.
I thought you were about to give me the tale of, and then I fell off. Because what the hell do I know about riding a horse?
I know about riding horses, but the horse was actually, had done it before.
Ah.
I learned right away, because he was like totally on it.
He was like, okay, let's round up the cattle.
And, course, there were some brave cows who came.
You know, don't you think if you're the cow owners, you say,
they weren't there.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Some American comes there, gets on a horse, and, like, circles my cattle. Took them up to the hills.
I know. It was
your own personal Brokeback Mountain moment.
Well. But, there was absolutely no mention of the iPhone in rural Ireland last Friday. No one talked about it. That was it. That was my experience. Yeah. And when I got back.
Yes.
Well, my wife called her sister on Friday while we were going up to some old ruin somewhere. She called her up and said, hey, pick me up an iPhone. I just could have said at that moment, two, but I didn't. Because I thought, oh, my friend's back home. They're going to have plenty. And so I let it go. And so we get home, and FedEx is there. My wife has her phone. I don't. Now it's Sunday. I'm bumming hard. I'm looking around. None of them are around. Everyone's sold out. So it wasn't until yesterday afternoon that Palo Alto happened to have gotten 30 more.
Right.
I happened to call, and I raced over there and picked it up.
I was just checking. I just flipped over your phone, and I think it may be rude. It may be a.
You're like looking under.
I was checking to see if it was the 4 gig or the 8 gig.
Oh, I see.
Because if it was a 4 gig, you probably could have picked one up.
You know,
they didn't sell out as quickly.
They didn't sell out, but by the time I got here on Monday morning.
Oh yeah, no. By Monday morning,
everything was gone. I did have an offer at one moment, the Apple store guy said, someone just returned a 4. And I said, no. And as I was driving home, I said, that's dumb. Because
no,
I should just get it.
No.
Because I'm going to get the next one. So,
all right, I
you
see
know.
What you're saying, but I can tell you that by the time I synced up all my music, it's full.
Yeah.
Full up.
Well, likewise for with me and my podcast.
I have to start making choices. Anyway, well,
so,
let's talk about things. Not that, you know, don't you think that everyone's heard just about enough of this iPhone business?
I think
these
so.
These iPhone shenanigans.
So let me look at my iPhone here to see what...
That guy? Not an entrepreneur.
Okay.
Keep looking.
So private equities ruining venture capital.
Well, no, what it's ruin, it's, yeah.
What's the, with the tax thing?
Oh,
right?
Well, you know, look,
so,
I don't want to get into it.
Carried interest. Talk to me about carried. Now, come on, you're the professor.
No,
we're going to teach.
Look, okay.
You carried interest. That's your, that's where you guys.
I understand. But, you know, does anyone really want to know about the economics of my business? I mean, you know, isn't it rude to talk about money? Isn't that rude?
In a social situation.
All right. So I'll just give it very quickly. I mean, the point is that the money that private equity and venture capitalists make in gain on the money that they invested has historically been treated as capital gains.
Yes.
And as such is taxed as capital gains, which is 20%, whatever.
28.
And
I think.
That's, you know, that's been okay, but when Blackstone went public and there's a whole bunch of hoopla and people are seeing what kinds of dollars are being made by these folks in carried interest, it's hard for Congress to not say, hey, wait a second.
It's,
you know,
really
like, that's a whole lot of money and we're losing a whole bunch of money in tax revenue, et cetera, et cetera.
It should be regular income.
It should be viewed as income. It shouldn't be viewed as capital gains. Now, the fact that money was put at risk, et cetera, doesn't seem to come into that particular calculus. And the bottom line is, I mean, the big argument is, gee, particularly in the venture business, if the fuel of the kind of technical economy is coming from venture capital and venture capital is investing this money, we want to encourage venture capital investing. And part of that encouraging is that if there is gain on our equity, that we it should be treated as capital gains, not as standard income.
Mm-hmm.
I happen to think that's correct. The other thing is that there are ways to simply take these entities offshore and therefore the money, what tax revenue you have now will become zero tax revenue as they go offshore.
And it's not too complicated to do that?
And it's not. No, it's simple.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, the problem is that in order to solve a perceived problem, the government may create a smaller tax value from these gains than they had from allowing it to be capital gains, which I think, you know, the venture industry and the private equity industry have viewed as a rational compromise. So we'll see.
But wait a minute. Isn't this income from... Oh, isn't this income from the... not from the management fees.
Not management,
management
fees.
This
is straight
gain
up on,
gain on...
So I invest in a company.
Okay, right.
And the company becomes increasingly valuable and ultimately becomes liquid. And then I sell the stock.
Right.
You know, so I get some percentage of the aggregate gains in the stock value. And then I get that in stock or cash. But the stock is ultimately sold. So it's capital gains on that stock.
Yeah.
But my percentage of that gain is called the carrier, the carried interest, and that's being taxed
as...
Okay,
I see, that's where it... So management fees are straight up income, no questions asked.
Management fee is income. It's treated as income, and I am taxed on it as income.
Yes. So I thought...
Except for breakfasts.
Yeah.
Those are business breakfasts, and I they're viewed as a business expense.
Yeah. As is your iPhone.
As is the iPhone. How do you... You know, like maybe it's a consumer device. Maybe I'm... But then let's see, what email have I gotten? Let's see if it's a business device. So yeah, so you know.
This just in, KKR offers competing bid for VentureCast.
Oh man, yeah, they're going public.
Yeah, so they're
going out themselves.
They're offering us 1.8.
Excellent.
Yeah. Anyway, somebody wrote a posting on PE Hub, Private Equity Hub. So it's
yes.
And I thought I would read it because I thought it was really interesting.
Wow,
and I think I think you're going to agree with it.
All right.
That's my guess.
Better listen up.
It was attributed
that guy?
Yeah.
Not
a venture.
Not an entrepreneur. But we'll keep looking.
The skateboard gave it away, I think.
That's not it. Okay, sorry. I'm ready.
Attributed to a gentleman named David. Now, see, the type's kind of small. Oh, wait, I'll zoom in.
Oh.
Crais, C-R-A-I-S, wrote, "The PE and hedge fund guys have sucked the life out of venture capital. between the Republican blowhards constantly deriding the 90s as the phony dot-com boom, even though you still had a net gain in the Dow over 50% even after the crash, and the M&A, for M&A's sake, PE guys attracting the institutional and H&W cash, it leaves little room and less cash on the table for venture capital development. Look around. Do we see the new industries and companies being developed? No. Do we see new product development with the exception of the iPhone or the Wii? No. PEs and hedges aren't creating innovation or growing the economy. The VC / Sandhill Road model is what created the information and knowledge economies that many around the globe are now copying. The PE and hedge guys are just shifting paper around, not creating value. And now the tax policy changes are just going to create more problems. The Dow is over 13,000, but the dynamism that the VCs and startups bring to the economy is over for now, hopefully. The VCs will suffer with the PE and hedge funds. The good will suffer for the bad. Dun, 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 dun.
Well, well.
I mean, that's a strong, I know you wouldn't
yeah,
say that.
Yeah, no, I
that,
don't. I mean, look, do I think...
scarcity of money?
I'll
that's
tell you.
Kind of one of his points.
There's no scarcity of money.
Right.
Here's the thing. He's totally wrong about, you know, it making less money available for venture.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much money available for venture, and the reason is that venture returns are good, and mm-hmm. there are lots of institutions that have a strategy where they're trying to get money invested in quote-unquote alternative investments, and alternatives are private equity, but they're also venture capital.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not worried about, for the venture capital industry, I'm truly not worried about whether there'll be sufficient capital to support the industry.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a huge, huge amount of capital available. So the venture business isn't going out of business anytime soon.
Right.
So, this question of what's more productive, ultimately, is it hedge funds or is it, you know, private equity or venture capital?
It's all an ecosystem, right?
Look, they're very different.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I do believe that venture capital is a highly productive way of putting capital to work in an economy that grows the economy, right? And I sort of agree with the discussion of quote unquote bubble 1.0. I mean, there were huge, interesting, important companies that were built out of it. And we'd have no Yahoo, we'd have no Amazon, we'd have no eBay. And then there are a whole bunch of other companies that added to the value of the Ciscos and Intels and Nortels and whatever of this world. Whether the prices were inflated, et cetera. These things go through fluctuations. So I don't, I think I would rather be a VC. I think it's more fun.
Yeah,
I think
it's probably more fun.
It's more more productive in the purest sense of the word. We're producing new industry. We're more likely to be kind of the engine that grows innovation. And I think that that's the interesting part of the tech economy.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, look, we were part of the buyout of Seagate.
Mm-hmm.
And it was important. It was valuable to Seagate to become a private entity, to focus on next generation product strategy, to do it outside of the eyes of sort of the public markets, et cetera. And I think that was great for the company and made the company more vibrant and gave it a better outlook and for future products and all that. So it's not like private equity can't be valuable.
Yeah.
It's not like, hedge funds, are sort of making money by churning things around only. There is this sort of productivity of the market. But if I had to choose what I wanted to do, which I got to do.
Yeah. Do what you're doing.
I'm doing the thing that I think is the most fun and most productive and most and the biggest driver of the tech economy.
This brings up a question. With the Seagate deal, now you guys were investors in Seagate.
Mm-hmm.
They went private.
Yes.
So what's the mechanism by which you guys got paid from that?
That we got paid?
Did you get paid?
Yeah. Well, so we were not investors in the company. What we were part of the group that took it private. So we bought it from the investors.
Oh, so it wasn't a venture deal.
It was a private equity deal where $1 billion in equity was spent to take the company private.
Okay.
So all of the existing shareholders were bought out.
Uh-huh.
There was some debt put in the company. It was taken to a private entity and became its own standing company that was no longer traded on the public markets. The company then was able to manage itself without Sarbanes-Oxley and a bunch of these specific requirements that allow people to manage to the street as opposed to manage to long-term gain. And over a few years, they gained a lot of value and continued to perform well, and the company was taken public again. And so then when the company was taken public, that was then our private shares became public company shares, and that's how we got liquidity.
Got it. Okay. So for a while there, you were part owners of Seagate.
Yeah, we had we had $130 million invested in private company stock, which could have been worth nothing.
Yeah.
It ended up being worth more than that, but
yeah.
could have gone to nothing, which was a pretty big bet.
Did you say they spun off a company that was nothing but debt?
Debt.
Did you say that? When Seagate was bought, you said there was a bunch of debt.
No.
I was trying to follow the bouncing ball.
Oh, sorry. No, in order to buy the company, there was $1 billion from investors. It was August Capital, TPG, and Silver Lake were the three primary investors that collectively invested $1 billion in cash.
Okay.
And then also raised $1 billion in debt. So for the $2 billion in cash, we were able to buy out all of the holders of debt and equity
of
in
Seagate's
the public company.
Okay, you bought out Seagate's
exactly. Then the private
holders.
Company was held by Silver Lake, TPG, August, and a crew of some others.
Yeah.
And then with $1 billion in debt on top of that,
that
was leveraged against the assets.
Got it. Okay.
That's how it worked.
Thank you. Understood. All right.
I'm disappointed that we haven't been able to find honest-to-goodness entrepreneur in this crowd. I think it's because it's the 4th of July week.
I think they were all here when we got here. You know, maybe it's the...
It's bad timing. 3:20.
3:20.
Entrepreneurs are taking their nap.
So, Pounce. You seen that? Kevin Rose, new company?
Is it a new company or is it part of...
I think it's a new company.
It's a whole new company.
I think so.
It's not part
of Dig
or...
I have a link right here.
We could look it up.
We're looking it up now. Oh, and here comes the sound of the GSM.
Thinking. Oh, yeah. You can hear that? I can hear that. But
no,
you
can't.
Have
I have the headphones on. David does not.
Well, I've been getting some Pounce requests. Not as many as Twitter requests, but honestly, you know, Twitter's been around a lot longer, so... You know, but... they're different. They're not. Mm-hmm. It's not. It was sort of touted as, oh, now you know, Kevin and crew come up with a Twitter
killer
ripoff or whatever, and they're different. But they're still. It's still a messaging platform.
Yeah, right. It's taking me to TechCrunch.
It's thinking.
This is nice.
This just in from TechCrunch.
You know what? I didn't sign up with the Wi-Fi here. So
didn't?
I'm doing. Yeah.
Oh, you're
so
actually
I'm being
using
edgy.
You're using the Edge network. I actually have. I don't know if I've ever managed to get the Edge network to work.
Oh yeah, I've had a good luck. It hasn't been so bad.
Guess you got it.
There's the noise we're hearing.
You know.
Anyway.
He's checking.
Now it's going back.
Would you like to use my browser? Because
I'm on
the Wi-Fi network.
I can go to the Wi-Fi.
You could log in. It would. There happens to be here. I guess it's not surprising here at University Cafe, where all the deals are done. While you're looking at that, here's a little story. Actually,
okay.
I did come. Actually, this involves Rajiv as well. See, he does spend all his time here. I was coming here to meet with the CFO of one of the companies in which I'd invested. We were sitting around having a little chat. Rajiv wandered in. He said, "Hey." I said, "Hey," and he said, "Oh, I'm meeting with some guys that you might like to meet."
Uh-huh.
So. If you get done in time, I'm still here. Come over and say hi.
Mm-hmm.
Finished my meeting. We talked about CFO-y things. I think like numbers and dollars and things like that.
That's what you guys talk
about.
And
then I went over. I went over to say hi to Rajiv, and he was sitting with this guy, Paul Ryan. Paul Ryan was the CTO of Overture immediately before this, and I guess actually he had spent a few days at Microsoft, but before that he had been CTO at Overture. And he was starting this new thing. It was sort of this aggregating demand for local businesses, et cetera. And so I started chatting with him about his business and liked him and liked his team of entrepreneurs. And that was just before Christmas and people went off and, you know, did the Hanukkah thing and the Christmas thing. And I came back after the New Year, spent some more time with him anyway. Long story short, funded him.
Oh.
So, and that started right here at University Cafe. And so his company's called Done Right, and you can go to doneright.com, and they have this cool thing called the Done Right Directory and all.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, just happenstance. I happened to wander in, and Rajiv introduced me to him. But good guys. I enjoyed the conversation. And so that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for, you know, another Paul Ryan here in University Cafe today.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking for my own Jay Adelson.
All right.
Yeah. Because I'm now Grunt Media, Inc.,
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Is that right?
I put in the papers.
You personally have been incorporated?
I have personally put in the papers.
So now, did you incorporate in California?
Yeah.
Or in, you went with California?
I just went with California.
Not Delaware?
Did not do Delaware.
Why is that?
Because I didn't know any better. I didn't call you up first.
No, I'm just, you know.
Hey, it's easier.
It was easier to get it done.
It's less complicated. See, I'm not a business guy. I need J. I need my J.
All right.
So, hey, if you're a J out there, want to be part of an exciting new media company?
Grunt Media.
Get an angel,
now,
too.
Well, I still, you know, VentureCast is going to be part of the Grunt Media empire. Do I have to sign away my rights?
No.
Sign away my life?
No, you don't, this doesn't quite fit the format. This is more of a hobby. This is my Apple TV.
Just your hobby?
I'm just toying with you, man.
Oh.
I know.
I mean, if this was a video podcast, then we'd be out of business. So you incorporated in California.
Yeah, corporate California.
Did you get a C Corp or an S Corp?
Yes. That was your advice.
Good.
I did ask you about that.
Right.
So, because I intend to, we're going to have lots of
investment, right?
Take investment. We're going to sell. We're going to be huge. Freaking huge.
This guy just walked in the door. Got a phone from Verizon.
Oh.
What is he thinking?
We should go deride him.
Does Verizon even exist anymore?
God. Thanks to him, they're still in business
today. Yeah, right. Well,
man.
He's like 90. Oh. Literally. I mean, guy's literally like 90. He just must have bought one of those like giant phones with the pack that you carry over your shoulder.
You're being rude. That's not nice.
Anyway, so you incorporated.
Yep.
Grunt Media Inc. Is that what
you said? Grunt Media Inc. Yep. And
cool. And now you're going
to
raise some money, or you're just
going to? Yeah, that's the plan. Raise some money, get some real business people in.
What do you think? Go straight to venture guys, or?
No, it's not a big enough business for venture, in my opinion.
Yeah,
we talked a little bit about it, and I think it's more of an angel thing. You know, it's not. It's content to begin with. Could be something else later. And that's probably what the good business guy will help me with. But
so
definitely
the angel guys, because I mean,
yeah,
you know,
it's an angel thing. It's not big enough.
Sort of like Calcanis and Denton.
Yeah.
So those are content business, aggregating a bunch of content. You're going to do it on the video side.
Right. I'm not aggregating though. It'll be
You're going to create original content.
Right.
High quality.
Yeah.
Content that rivals your little hobby here, venture
capital. Oh yeah, this is just pittance. This is audio. This is easy.
Whatever.
But,
you know,
but I'm learning. See, I'm learning a lot. I wouldn't have known. How the hell?
All right, calling all angel investors for Craig's real business.
That we should have had that on video. that look on your face.
Yeah, right. If that had been a video,
look.
Look at that. Who's that? Munjal.
Munjal Shah.
What's Munjal up to?
He was a guest on a previous show of ours, right?
Yes, absolutely.
The Web 2.0 attack show.
Was he still Rhea at the time, or was he like, actually at the very big, did we go to that Web 2.0 conference where we saw him right when he was, you know, changing to like?
Yep. That way, and we had him on.
We've
had him on the show.
We've been doing this for a little bit now.
I know. We actually have a little history.
We're all grown up.
Hey, it's a year when we decided to do it, but we started in September.
Right. We started sometime after the August annual.
Yeah, right. So you had to have your summer off, like you venture
people
do.
Gotta rest up.
Munjal was on the cover of Wall Street Journal, page one. It was a story about...
That just happened today?
No, this in the past week.
I missed it.
Yeah.
Look at that. See, this is what I want. First of all, the beauty of the iPhone, I can close up on the woodcut.
Yeah. Nice
are
rendition of
Munjal. Are these
woodcuts
anymore? Is it just a computer that's making woodcut-like
images?
I think
they're still, from what I heard, they're still hand-done.
Isn't that awesome?
It's great. They're beautiful.
A friend of mine said his goal was to... Oh, no, I called him because he'd been in a woodcut. I may have mentioned this before.
It's not a woodcut.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, line... What do they call it?
Well, I don't know. It's ink.
Whatever it is. You know, the ink, thing,
ink.
thing that they do. Anyway,
yeah.
He was in the Wall Street Journal, and they'd done one of his face, and I said, that's awesome. And he said, well,
you
it's good,
right.
But I'm really waiting to be on Fresh Air with Terry Gross.
Man. Setting his sights.
I have similar aspirations, but I think it's I think that frankly I gotta wait until I write my novel. That's gonna be my ticket. That's
ticket
the ticket right there to Terry Gross.
It's Terry Gross that you're after. You're after Terry Gross. That's your thing.
Wouldn't you say how awesome
no,
that would be?
No, not me.
You don't like the fresh air?
It's not my cup of tea. Yeah,
I love fresh air.
Yeah. No, mine
Terry
is
Terry Gross.
Yeah. Okay. Wait. I got that. Mine's a New Yorker.
So what, a New Yorker?
I've met Malcolm Gladwell. I had dinner with him once, but that's what I want.
All right, that'd be awesome.
I want the Malcolm Gladwell story.
I'm not objecting. I'm just
saying. Yeah, we both have our dreams.
So it
was a story about some in Silicon Valley begin to sour on India. So talk about outsourcing and the
going forward and conquering.
Yeah, and how salaries up there are creeping up to American levels now. So that's what the story was about. So it wasn't necessarily about Rhea so much as about his
just
involvement.
Just about Munjal, but, you know, get a little like.com love in there. It's always good.
Yeah.
Majal's very good at the publicity. He appreciates the value of it.
Yeah.
I was in the airport once, bumped into Munjal. I was with my family, and I screamed across the airport, "Munjal! Munjal!" They looking at me like, "What are you doing?" Because they didn't know that Munjal was a name. They thought I was sort of like screaming a nonsense word.
Yeah.
Then Munjal came over and introduced him to my wife and all, and they were somewhat relieved that I was not, in fact, insane.
Having some sort of brain aneurysm like you have been.
Exactly. No. Anyway.
Yeah. We're at a good time.
That's it?
We're at 37 minutes.
All right,
according
to
the clock, and we didn't cut a deal yet.
Not a single.
You didn't find me my angel yet.
Not a single conversation with an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Well, you know, but I've enjoyed it. I like the ambiance, don't you think?
Yeah, it's been nice. It's been nice.
Now the next podcast. Here's the question.
Yes.
Are we going to do it at the TechCrunch party? Or are we going to do it in advance of the TechCrunch party?
We should probably ask Mike.
Well, we can do it.
It's your host. You're sort of.
It's on my deck.
It's on your deck. I know, but it's.
We could do it. We could do it before when all the sponsors are setting up. They're going to be all these guys with demo stations and all.
Oh, They're going to be like they're going to do the mini TechCrunch.
Bunch of demo stations, so they're going to be sponsors that are kind of hanging out. So we could go bug them before the crowds show up.
That'll be mean.
No, we'll just do a we'll just chat.
We'll see. We'll ask Mike.
Well, stay tuned.
We should ask Mike. Really?
No.
No. Well, come on. It's his party.
Sure, it's his party, but it's on my
porch. You're being a landlord here.
Last year, I was literally at midnight on my hands and knees with seltzer water cleaning up stains from the red wine.
Oh, my God.
That's what I'm saying.
It must have been just
terrible for you.
Yeah, boy. Elephant tears for you, too.
If I want to podcast from the TechCrunch party, my friend, we will podcast. Do you understand
me? I got it. Whatever.
Fine. We'll ask Mike. Fine.
Okay, fine. When is that?
The 27th. July 27th.
Evening. And you're in the Cape until then?
I'm not saying, maybe.
Okay. Well, for the audience, summer schedule will be... I know everyone's on the edge of their seat waiting for the download. I know that happens. Just letting you know, the summer is going to be a little erratic.
No.
We're a week late this time.
Oh, that's going to be... Oh, we're a week late, and then we're going to be another... And then we're going to be...
It's going to be sporadic.
It's going to be 3 weeks again, isn't it?
Yeah. So Calcanis,
Oh, Calcanis is going
to... Yeah, I know. He'll just have to deal
with it. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Do you really... But see the thing, Jason... Like, we could do the Skype podcast thing, but that's awful.
I hate Skype.
Don't you hate that?
I hate
using it as a recording device.
It's not right.
It's a fine quality for a phone conversation.
When it works, it's fabulous, but...
Yeah, we're not doing that.
No.
Next one will be sometime in and around July 27th.
Yeah.
And after that, you know, we'll see.
Yes.
See when it comes up.
Thank you for listening.
Bye-bye now.
Scientifically years ahead, Angel Skin neutralizes the drying effects of detergents and soaps. Only Angel Skin penetrates the outer skin surface and actually heals chapping. For smooth, white hands, use Angel Skin.